Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you, Lasana. Praise God. Remain standing. Those of you who are seated, would you stand as we read the word? That was a great story, his story. How many of you have a story like that? You've been redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord. All right, y'all kind of halfway there. Let the redeemed of the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Let's read in our scripture. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And when having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?"
And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power
of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." One more. And everybody together. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're talking about Mary today, Mary's story. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we all have a story. We thank you that you gave us the best story, the story of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you'll help us by the Spirit to understand what you would have us understand this morning. That Mary said, "Be it unto me what the word of the Lord was." That she received it with gladness and it changed her whole life. Lord, change our lives today. Let the word of God dwell in us richly, God. Let it cause life to come in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Mary had a story. Some of y'all know this. Mary had a little lamb. Don't laugh. His name was Jesus. Yeah, Mary had a little lamb. His name was Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If we look at our stories today, Mary's story is the one we're going to focus on. But before we do that, we have to go back. We have to go back to Zacharias. I know this is the Christmas season. Everybody's got a lot of things on your plate, but I want you to put this one thing on your mind, that as you're thinking about Jesus coming to earth, there's something that you must do in your response to his coming to earth. There's some of us today who haven't accepted Jesus into our hearts. There's some of us who have received Christ. There's some of us who have received Christ and we put him in a little pocket and keep him over here, like for good luck or something. There's some of us who we put Jesus right at the center of our life, and we've experienced the life and joy that he has to give. I want you to see the benefit of receiving this morning. The benefit of receiving. So let's look at Mary. It starts with Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest. and his wife, Elizabeth. They were godly people. They were righteous before God, the Bible says in verse 6 of Luke 1. And it says that they were faithful servants, that they walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And they were blameless in that. So they were faithful in the house of God. You know what I mean? They came to church every Sunday. Amen. I knew that y'all was waiting for that. They came to church every Sunday. They were at Bible study. They were praying. They read their Bible every day. They did the things that God told them to do. So they were faithful servants of God, yet they were up in age. They had no children. In those days, women who didn't have children were kind of looked down upon. And so Elizabeth felt bad because she didn't have a child. And they had been praying about it. Who does that remind you of? There was another couple that didn't have a kid and they were old. Abraham and Sarah. They were old, and what happened? They eventually had a child. But the reason why we have Muslims today is because Abraham disobeyed God and didn't wait. So I want to give you an example of somebody who didn't do what God said and then somebody who did. Zacharias was kind of like that. It says in verse 8 of Luke 1, it says, "So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, as he was serving, his lot fell to go into the temple, and the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense." In verse 11, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear your son. You shall call his name John.'" And the rest of that story is that God, through the angel Gabriel, speaks a prophetic word about what he's supposed to do, John, what he's supposed to do with his son, how he's supposed to raise him. He gives him directions for how to live his life. And it says he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Zacharias in verse 18 said, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." Now, I want to have mercy on Zach, because Zach is like a lot of us. When we get a word from the Lord, we question it. Well, if that's really you, God, how? You know, I'm not sure. You know, I mean, after all, I am old, and my wife is old too. She's old, and we can't, I don't know how that's going to happen. So the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God." That's a powerful statement. He gave him his badge, rank, and serial number. "I'm Gabriel." And he's only mentioned a few times in the Bible, but when things happen, Gabriel's always in the midst of it. He says, "I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God." That's a verification. He's telling him, "Look, I hang out with God all the time, and I'm telling you what God told me to tell you." It reminds me of Moses when he was talking to the Pharaoh. He said, "I am told me to tell you to let my people go." You know, so when God speaks, we should be listening. Amen? So Zacharias said, "How will I know it? I'm old, my wife is old." And he said, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." It was supposed to be good news, but Gabriel didn't really receive it. It says in verse 20, "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So God did Zach a favor, closed his lips. Shut it up, man. Some of us, when God speaks to us, we should just shut up. Don't tell anybody. Don't start speaking against what God said he would do. Receive the word, amen? So let's go look at Let's look at Mary's story. I got to move fast. In verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, same angel, he was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And Galilee was kind of like what Northeast Portland used to be, sort of. And then Nazareth was like Columbia Villa, if y'all remember back in the day. It was the ghetto. Seriously, it was. So you notice, angel Gabriel goes to a small city, unknown, un-anything, and guess what happens? Mary's hanging out. She's doing her thing. In those days, women got engaged around the ages of 13, 14, 15. Some of y'all are going, wow. Molly, I saw your head shake. I don't want to hear nothing now about you getting engaged. But anyway, Mary was engaged. She was engaged. And when you got engaged in those days, it was as if you were married. It was kind of like the Bible uses the word betrothed. Y'all remember that? That's old English. But basically, it was the kind of thing, the relationship was, they're as if they're married, even though they're not acting like they're married. They're not doing anything. But for all intents and purposes, they are married. An example of how that would work is if Mary went to a party and another guy saw her and thought he might want to start talking to her, she would tell him, I'm engaged to be married. And he would know she was engaged to be married, so he wouldn't talk to her. So they obeyed the rules. So Mary's a virgin. She's 14, never been with a man, never been married. Let's go to verse 28. And it says, having come in, the angel said to her, Gabriel, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, I've thought about this, and I did a little study. When it says highly favored, it's meaning that God's grace was very, very evident in her life. It wasn't that Mary was special. She was like any other 14 or 15-year-old woman at that time, except that she did love God. She had a relationship with God. But she was no different than any other woman at that time. It was God's grace that he blessed her to be the mother of Jesus. So it says you're highly favored. Now, if you're Catholic, or if you have a Catholic background, they take Mary and put her up on a pedestal next to Jesus. And while I'm not criticizing their religion, I am criticizing the truth. The truth of it is that Mary was not on the same level as Jesus. She was just a conduit. She was the channel by which Jesus was going to be born, and it was because of God's grace. The same grace that he put on Mary, he puts on us. All of us have that same grace. We can be highly favored. It's not anything you do that makes you highly favored. It's that you present yourself. And that's what Mary did. She showed up. Amen? Then the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So Mary is thinking about this. I mean, she's listening to somebody talk to her and tell her you're highly favored. And he tells her, don't be afraid, which she probably should be if somebody just comes start talking to you. But then he tells her, he prophesies to her. He says in verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, if the angel came and said all that to you, he kind of laid it out. He gave her the whole plan right there. Mary responds by saying, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now, put yourself in Mary's place. You're 14. Maybe she's good looking. Who knows? But she gets visited by Gabriel. She's engaged to Joseph. And something's going to happen. Let me go to page 2 here. Because this is the best part right here. It's the best part. It says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and now this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. So the angel goes back to something that Mary can relate to. She knows that Elizabeth is pregnant and is having a baby. Elizabeth is anointed by God to have this child. And the same thing that happened to Zacharias and Elizabeth is now happening to her. The angel came to her, the same angel, prophesied to her, and they got pregnant. So John the Baptist was just the baby of Zacharias and Elizabeth, is 6 months older than Jesus. Some of you never put that together, but 6 months before, Gabriel talked to Zach and Liz. Now he's talking to Joseph and Mary. Really, just Mary. And the best part about this is Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. She received the word. When the angel told her what happened to Gabriel, that could put confidence in her for what was going to happen to her. And some of us have heard the word of the Lord. How many of you? God has spoken to you. There's some of us, God has spoken to us hundreds of times about the same thing. Yep. About the same thing. You notice he only spoke to Mary once. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to us again and again about the same thing, because he's kind of like trying to get our attention. And the first time, maybe we didn't hear it. The second time, maybe we didn't hear it. About the 15th time, we might hear it. This morning, I'm praying that you hear the word of the Lord. That you hear the word of the Lord. Mary's response to the impossible was that, let it be to me according to your word. That's a powerful statement. It says that Mary said in verse 38, it says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. That's when she called herself the maidservant of the Lord. If she wasn't going to do what he said, she wouldn't have called herself the maidservant of the Lord. So when you hear the word of the Lord, say yes. Amen? Amen. Say yes. Many of us don't. We balk at what God is telling us to do. Or we back up. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be that passionate about God. The promise of God is powerful. The thing that we must remember is that what God has for us is a blessing. It's always a blessing. When the angel came to Zechariah and Elizabeth, he said that there was going to be joy. He used that term, joy. And the devil has confused a lot of people and got them to believe that whenever God talks to you, he's going to take something from you, and therefore you're not going to have something, and therefore you're not going to have joy. I got the revoking of that lie right here. It says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shadow of turning, which means that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only gives good gifts. He only gives good gifts. Anytime you think something happened to you that was bad, that was the devil stealing from you. He's trying to get you to turn away so you don't receive. If the water's flowing out right here and you turn away, you take your cup and go somewhere else, you ain't going to get none of that water. It's the same thing about truth. If you turn your heart away from God, When he's talking and he's giving you a word and you turn away from it, you're not receiving. But do like Mary. She said, behold. That's a big word in the Bible. Whenever it says behold, look out. Something's coming up afterwards. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. And it almost looks like she's bragging because she's going, ta-da, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. But her word after that is, let it be to me according to what you have said. And that's the word I want to say to us today. Do like Mary and say, behold, I receive that which God said to me. If you don't have eternal life this morning, behold, you can receive eternal life this morning. If you got pain, and I know some of us have pain, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The other part of that rest is that there's peace in there. There's joy in there. There's healing in there. There's deliverance in there. You know what? Everybody talking about change. There's change. The real kind of change. The stuff that lasts forever. In the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. God wants to bring change to you. He wants to bring healing to you. He wants to bring deliverance to you. He wants to bring salvation to you. He wants to turn your life around. He wants to make you brand new. The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So God spoke. One of the things that Mary did, and because of time, I'm going to have to cut this, but one of the things that Mary did was that she pondered. One of the translations uses the word pondered. It means she thought about what the angel said to her. Mary's kind of smart, though. You got to think about this. She's going to be pregnant, and she asked the question, how's this going to happen that I'm going to be pregnant and me and Joseph haven't had any interaction? She put two and two together. She said, let me see, I wrote it real good in my notes last night when I was thinking about it. Where's the two and two? It was good. I have to find it. She put two and two together, and she came up with, the Holy Spirit has to do something in order for me to get something. Since Joseph is not going to be the father, how's it going to happen? That's the question she asked. But she didn't say it couldn't happen. She just said, how? And the angel answered her. So sometimes we think we can't ask God a question. Some of us think that in order to be a Christian means you have to turn off your thinking apparatus, that you don't think, you just follow along and just do whatever the preacher or whoever says. And you should be, there should be some of that, but you should be thinking. You should be thinking. You should think about when you give your life to God that it's going to have a tremendous impact. That's what Mary did. She got proof because she looked back at Zach and Liz and saw that they got blessed with a baby. And if it happened to them, it could happen to me. If it happened to me, it could happen to you. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout. Shout. So when Mary heard the word, she responded to it, and then she spoke. Now, this is the part that will get some of you. There's a scripture that says, I believe it's in Corinthians, says, I believe, therefore we speak. I think it was Paul talking. He said, I believe, therefore I speak. Mary believed, and she spoke. She spoke what the word of the Lord was to her. And some of you think you can make change by being silent. But you know what? What happened when God started things in the beginning? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and he spoke. He spoke. He spoke. He spoke. That's why a lot of preachers will say, come on, tell your neighbor, neighbor, and then they tell you to say something. Because they want you to speak. So some of you, worship is like this for you. You're just cooling and enjoying, and that's all good. But you know what? Worship means that you speak, you sing, you put out of your mouth what's in your heart. So if God prophesied to you If God said something to you, speak. I receive. I've done this a lot of times. I've taken a, let's see, I don't all have a $1 bill here, but I've taken big bucks out, and I tell the kid, do you want this? It's 20 bucks. Yeah, I want it. Okay. And I'm putting it out, and they're just standing there looking at me. How you going to get it? You got to come and get it, right? You have to stick your hand out. Anthony's trying to come now. You have to stick your hand out and receive. That's what Mary did. She opened her mouth and received. You see what I mean? You receive eternal life when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God sent Jesus to earth to save you and deliver it. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, and that's how you get saved. It's the same way. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Confess with your, I receive the Holy Spirit. You want to have life? I receive. Lord, when I open my Bible this morning, I receive the word of the Lord for me today. God, now I'm speaking out what you told me to get up and go, and you would be with me. So I'm getting up and I'm going, and you'll be with me. You said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So speak. Say it out of your mouth. Believe it in your heart and watch it come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
So like Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. If you've never received Jesus Christ, this is a great time. Everybody's celebrating Christmas and everybody's getting gifts. Why don't you get the best gift that was ever given? It's free. All you have to do is receive it. Some of you are scared to receive it, but you know what? The devil's the one trying to keep you from getting the best gift in town, in the world. I lived in New York for many years, and I remember Macy's had a Christmas sale, and this was back in the 60s. So now you know how old I am. But there was an ad, not an ad, but there was a report of a Christmas sale, might have been Black Friday, but they didn't call it that back then. But people were fighting, and somebody got knocked out for a little cheap pair of socks or some gift. They were fighting. I mean, give me that. No, I got it first. No, you got it first. They were fighting for that gift, and it was just a, you know, thing, some little thing. And this year, most people didn't do that. Everybody's buying online, right? Didn't y'all? We know. But the bottom line is that you did what you had to do to get that gift. And what I'm saying is that Jesus is the best gift you could ever have. And if you can't, you should be able to do a little bit, which is to just get up and receive what God has for you. Some of you today, God has a fresh new start for you. You've been burdened down. This whole year has gone by and you've been trying to find your way. God wants you to find your way. Starts today. Receive the word of the Lord for you. Some of you need healing. You need to receive the healing that God has for you. Just open your mouth and say, I receive. I receive, and then put whatever it is you receive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to close because we don't have much time. But God knows what he's doing and the Holy Spirit is present. If you would just bow your heads with me and do a little inventory. Think about what was said this morning that you could take away from this service. If you're having difficulty responding to God's love, maybe because your parents didn't love you and you don't know what real love is, but God, he loves you. Maybe you're lonely at this time of year. Maybe you're in the middle of all the Christmas hoopla and stuff, you're all alone. God says, you're not alone. You're not alone. He loved you so much that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, for you to be saved. All you have to do is receive that free gift of Jesus. What thing has God spoken to you that you have not received with faith? Because that's how you receive, by faith. You believe what God's word said. What prophecy has God spoken to you that you've not received with faith so you can be what God created you to be? Come on, think about it, really. Think about what it is that you want from God. Some of you are trying to figure out how to change your life. This is the first step to the rest of your life. Commit to Jesus. That's how you change your life. It's not going to happen by a program or anything else. God's word, the Bible says God sent his word and he healed them. He healed them from all their diseases. He healed them from drugs. He healed them from loneliness. He healed them from a broken heart. He healed them from disappointment. He healed them from sin. He healed them from sickness. He healed them from whatever. He can heal anything. You remember? He said, "For with God, nothing is impossible." Your life could be broken and shattered in a million pieces, but with God, nothing is impossible. God can make all things new. All you have to do is give it to him. Receive the gift of God that brings eternal life in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth. Tell God right now. There's somebody in here that you need to open your mouth. You can put your hand over your mouth, but speak it out of your mouth. Not in your mind, in your mouth. Say, "God, I repent for my sin. I turn to you, the author and finisher of my faith. I give you my life." Those of you who've been holding on to your life trying to fix it, and it ain't been fixed this far, you know it's never going to be fixed unless you give God your life. So do it right now. Give it to him. Say, "God, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I'm willing to make a change." We're going to stand in a minute. And when we do, I want you to just come down. Those of you who are interested in that change, interested in getting a free gift of God, eternal life, healing, deliverance, all the things we've been talking about. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand real quick. Thank you. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. If you were drowning, you wouldn't be quiet to yell for that life raft. Don't be ashamed. Don't be quiet now. The Holy Spirit is here in the name of Jesus. We declare the freedom of God in this house, and we break every chain in the name of Jesus. Satan, loose them and let them go right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, say yes to Jesus. Slip that hand up. Slip it up right now. Thank you. Everybody, let's stand. If you...
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.